Hey, this is Tanya. Welcome to Girl Call Me, the podcast for, by, and about Black women. We hope you enjoy today's conversation as we chat about all things health, relationships, and life. We'll have you laughing, testifying, and most importantly, feeling seen and whole as the beautiful Black woman you are. Now on to the nonsense. So today, we're going to be talking about preventative care. But before we talk about preventative care, we have to once again acknowledge and thank all of our listeners and all of the people who have been supporting this podcast. Our stress episode, which happened a few episodes ago. I've just been amazed by the notes and the comments and really how that episode really resonated with so many people.
Yeah, kind of reminded me. Not kind of, it definitely reminded me of why I'm doing the podcast. I mean, beyond, you know, hanging out with you, I think, you know, one of the main things, I wanted to have more conversations, and that included right. with people in my own life. And I think that episode, I got so many texts from people in my life who I've never talked to about stress, who suddenly were like, girl, I got stress. Here are all the things. And it was just, I feel like it's opened the door to a lot of conversations. Like it was that easy, kind of, right? As people suddenly felt like, wow, I should talk about this. I mean, Nicole, Dr. Weeks is just amazing. And
yes,
people were fangirling, like, when is she on again? When is she? I'm like, okay, great. She's got a job.
She's right. She does have a job. She does. But she has said that she is excited to come back. And so, you know, I don't know if we unpacked the tips that we needed to provide, because I know I needed some support after that. So now that we know what stress will do to us, okay, what are the techniques that we need to do to get out of that?
Help. I love that we're like, hey, everyone, we need you to acknowledge stress. We'll be back to you in a month and a half about how to manage it.
Right. Hang on.
So until then, fingers crossed, emoji.
Praying for y'all.
Prayer hands. Yes.
Right. So we will definitely be bringing her back. But back to preventative care.
Yeah.
And what do we mean by, you know, preventative care?
You know, it's so funny. I was thinking about this. When I recently was traveling abroad and I had to get all of my vaccines and, you know, I'm pulling out the yellow cards and I'm looking at some of these and I'm like, these yellow cards, I have them back until whatever, like your first shots you got. And then you had kind of a second round when you were in college. So now you have like a newer card, but that's still old at this point. Right. And I was thinking, like, what is in our lives now to give us those like checkpoints
about what's that
when
card?
You should be going? Right.
Where is
and
that
until
car?
COVID, right. I feel like COVID was, I was like, wait, don't I have a vaccine card somewhere? Like that was the first time I even
where
had
is
that.
That vaccine card?
And the other thing I was thinking about too is like, you have, so there's all these moments when you're younger that are like baked in these checkpoints for preventative care, right? I was thinking about baby books and my mom was big on baby books. And I remember when I'd go through as a kid, you know, there's pages in there that are like, what were the notes from the, you know, whatever, 6 months appointment? What were the notes from this? What were the notes from this? And then at some point, and, you know, I'm not a parent, so I don't really know. But at some point, that seems like it kind of tapers off those like checkpoints.
Right.
And then if you play sports in high school or something, maybe you have to get one. Mm-hmm. You got to get something in college. But then it kind of seems like it's like, all right, girl. Now you're on your
own. Good luck. Hope for your best. I mean, I love to look at the definitions of some of these topics. And the aim of preventative medicine is the absence of disease. By preventing the occurrence of the disease or halting a disease and averting result complication after its onset. And I was just so fascinated to think about the absence of disease. So if we do this preventative medicine, in theory, it might eliminate or halt the potential for developing something.
Well, yes. I mean, isn't it meant to catch it too? Like, that's
it's
why
you
catch
it. Right.
Yeah. Checking your A1C, checking, you know, doing your blood work and stuff at like your annuals are usually to be like keeping check on where you're at with things, right?
But I think about like what you're saying about, you know, when you're a baby, then when you're an adolescent, then when you're going through school, there's all these checkpoints in an effort to help you prepare you. I mean, when you get a measles shot, it's preparing you for the potential for the exposure.
Right.
But
right.
Once you've gotten all these like boosting shots, yeah. What is on the back end when you're 20 years old or 20 something and you're done in college, who's saying, hey, have you thought about getting blood work or anything?
You're just usually going to the doctor in those middle years for like if something happens, if something goes wrong, right?
And do you know any 20-year-olds right now that's thinking about what doctor or I mean, unless there's something that happens and they break a limb. I mean, when you start thinking, I mean, I think you asked me the question in one of our last episodes, how did I figure out insurance? And honestly, I said, I was about 40 or 30 or 40, I suppose. And it's when I had insurance to think about. But before then, I'm not sure.
No.
I was really focused.
I only had it. I thought that health insurance was like life insurance. Like I had it like in case something really bad happens, right? And I was, you know, talking about when I had a Cobra, had to pay a Cobra for like 3 months in between jobs. And I was like, oh my God, like what? Why do you have to pay for this? Like, can't I just stay safe for a while and be cool? And it's like I guess before Obamacare, right? Pre-existing conditions was such a big deal. Like they could deny you coverage for pre-existing conditions. And pre-existing conditions back then meant like you could go into the doctor with new insurance and have high blood pressure. And they're like, oh, so we're not covering this because this is obviously a pre-existing condition. Like it was,
I forgot about the pre-existing condition. Right, it's been so long, I think, that we are like, we have been privileged in some ways.
Yeah. Thanks, Obama.
To have care. Thanks, Obama. Miss Obama, call us.
Call us, girl, call me. Call me. Yeah. Remember, it was such a big deal. And anything could be called pre-existing condition.
Anything.
And so that was what was, that was a scare tactic, clearly, because it's not like you had all these checkpoints where you were going to the doctor and they actually could be looking at anything before. I mean, you're right. And even when you look at, kind of, there is a gap, right? Like they basically say, get through your wellness stuff and then kind of get these vaccines maybe every 10 years and then like hit us when you're 40 and we need to look at your breasts. Like there's a huge gap.
Maybe. And it used to be 50. I mean, up until 2021, I think it was, I'll check you when you're 50 because you didn't, nobody else needed any exams.
Right. It was like, just come back and get this STD check. And women's quote unquote women's wellness for cervical cancer and STDs, and you're good to go.
Right. What should we be looking for when thinking about our providers, our doctors? You know, we had an interesting conversation with someone, I think it was like maybe last week, and she's a doctor. And she was talking about some of the things and some of the tips that she suggests to people. And one of the things was, when you're looking or starting to think about a new provider, check their license. I had never thought to look up their license to see whether they've had any, I don't know, it's infractions or violations or something. Check to see if their license is valid. Mind blown. I just never thought about that. I mean, that's crazy.
No, I mean, it's like what we talked about. We've talked about, just you and I personally have talked about, like when you are looking for a doctor and you're on, you know, whatever your healthcare's website and you're choosing which filters, like it's not like they have a filter that's like, click if to make sure they're board certified and their licenses are up to date. Right. So instead you're like, okay, let me find someone 10 miles from my house who, you know, speaks the language I want and also is available for appointments now. Like, that's what you're searching for, not like your, not their licenses.
Right. And I'm like, I need to call. We may need to check in with her because I'm not even sure how you look up somebody's license. I'm like, how did you do that? But you know,
you're like, excuse me, do I need a, yeah, do I need
a, is there an access, an email that I need to pay a monthly charge? Listen, that could be a business. I don't know. I mean, we might need to think about it. Side hustle. But yeah, so when thinking about your providers, it might feel like just a lot of work. Yeah. You know, because I know people who just go to their primary or go to that, you know, family doctor. And that family doctor is doing everything from, I mean, they can't do their mammograms, but in a minute, they would try to get them to do their mammograms. They're not going to specialists. They're not thinking about that.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, you know, I think that, so if we jump into some of like the regular, quote unquote, regular screenings or regular preventative care we should be doing. I mean, for women our age, mammogram is probably the one. Mammogram and obviously a pap smear and women's wellness screening for cervical cancers are kind of the ones that we probably go to most often. I didn't even know when I turned 39, I had a friend who's kind of hypervigilant who told me I should go get a mammogram. Oh, wait, it was you. And
it was
like, girl, I just heard a speaker, you need to go, we have risk factors, get to the doctor. And I'm like, okay. And I wasn't even really sure where to go. I was like, I don't have cancer, so am I supposed to go to a women's cancer center? And then I was like, I don't think my regular doctor does. I googled, and I know a lot about healthcare.
Right.
And I googled, like, where do I get a mammogram? I had no idea. And I'm like, does my GYN do it? Like, what is happening? I had absolutely no idea.
And that's crazy when you think about, yes, we are in a position which, in theory, we should know how to get a mammogram. But the reality is, I know people who still think that they were supposed to wait till they're 50. They didn't know that the change to 40. And then think about self-checks. How are you, you know, I know so many friends that it wasn't necessarily the mammogram that really caught the cancer, but it was actually their monthly self-checks.
Right. Well, you know, what's funny, the guidelines, so some research came out and they said that they were making a recommendation that the guidelines come down to 35, right? But right now, the guidelines that are still out say between 40 and 44 are optional for a mammogram if you have dense breasts.
Now, right, and that dense breast is a whole new thing.
If you've never gone to get a mammogram and you haven't held a lot of other women's breasts before, how do you know if your breasts are dense compared to what?
Right. And who's going to tell you? I mean, I'm not sure the tech would be like, by the way, ma'am, you have dense breast. That's just not, those conversations are not happening. Well,
look, I told you how I
found go down. You can go down the rabbit hole. Go down the rabbit hole with the dense breast.
This is what happens when you start thumbing through your files, the notes that your doctors leave in your.
You know what? Read those files. Read.
Yeah, read them.
Files. Because I've never read them. Until like recently, and then I was like, "What is this?" Like they'll be put something in, and I'm like, "Wait a minute!" And he's like, "Why did anyone give her access?" What?
Right. Yeah. It turns out I don't have dense breasts all over my file about my fatty breasts.
And Lord Jesus, fix it. Let's just we digress. Thank you, doctors.
We digress. Thank you for shame. Thank you for that extra level of shame. I think I actually don't know, but yeah. You know, you can do kind of an initial breast exam while you're getting your well women's exam.
Right.
Some places you can still get your mammogram in that same location if you go to a GYN that does it, but only a screening mammogram, not a diagnostic. Right. So for so many of you, like the thing that I would share that I learned is for a lot of people, your first screening mammogram, they're going to recommend that you get a diagnostic mammogram right after that. And quite honestly, if they don't recommend it, you should ask, because they don't have any images to compare it to. Screening mammograms miss a lot of stuff, not to scare anyone, but they do miss a lot of stuff. And so if it's your very first time, push for a diagnostic. It takes a little extra work. You got to go somewhere else, but then you have stuff on file for them to compare to every time.
Right. And the key is having that, your own information on file for, so because to get them, to get any sort of radiology to send your files to another institution, I have everything on all of the x-rays and so forth. I just keep it all. I have my own discs.
Yes. Yes. Get to, and you're never going to be able to read them. You're never going to be able to use the discs, but there's a lot of places that say, if you're coming for a diagnostic, we need to have your first images on in hand. You need to have them in hand. So do it, save yourself the time, and do it while you are in the office. Before you leave the doctor's office, say, give me that paper, because they're still working on paper. Give me that paper. I will fill it out. And you guys put it in inner office mail or whatever you got to do to get me my images mailed to me ASAP.
Right. And then, you know, another one that I think a lot of us sort of overlook, and I have, is a colonoscopy. And we know that based on the research and the data that colon cancer, rectal cancer, is going, it's earlier and earlier. Younger and younger people are now, you know, we hear stories of the 35-year-old who thought for some reason that maybe they were just having stomach problems and ending up getting colon and realizing they have colon cancer.
You're telling me you haven't had a colonoscopy?
I'm not talking about myself. We know people. Girl, do you know how many have a colon? I've had colonoscopies since I started 30. 30 is when I had my first.
I was thrown for a second.
She was like, wait, what? I'm talking about the 35. Why is it? Why did I say I? Did I say I don't? I don't remember saying that.
Well, you said we, I didn't know if you were.
I was talking. I love the royal we. The royal we. Okay. We all. Anyway, so as someone who is 52, give or take 49, yes, I have had.
You say your age every episode.
Clearly, I'm embracing it, and I listen. If you look at me, you'd be like, "Oh, she must be 25." So I did. Let's keep moving. But let's go back to the colonoscopy. No, but it's like more and more people at a younger age are being diagnosed with colon cancer. I mean, I've always had spastic colon, and I've always had some kind of stomach issue. So yes, once you get one, then you can wait 10 years. And then when you get to the ripe old age of 50, then you either are 5 years or 3 years. But based on my family and my history, I'm on a 3 year plan.
I'm on a 30 day.
I'm on a 30 day colonoscopy plan. And you know, I think some people talk about, yes, you know, listen, I complain about doctors, but clearly I believe in them still at the same time. They have a purpose. Because I do go to them. But you know, I think the prep is sometimes the worst part of the colonoscopy. Once you get through the prepping part and you get there, it's a nice nap. And then you find out information. You find out information. Whether you have polyps or you are fine, it's important to know.
Right.
It's important to know.
Well, that's the story. Those are the stories we actually need to tell each other more often, because I think what happens is like we tell the stories of like the horror that is getting the test, right? So like everyone hates the mammogram. Everyone's talking about the mammogram. Your breasts are cold on the plate. The squeezing hurts. The this, the that. You know, the same thing with the well women's exam. I think I told you at once. So I still remember when we were 16 years old and a girl in our grade telling us about getting a pap smear, and we were all just like, oh my god, we're never doing that. Why do we tell each other those stories? Same with the colonoscopy and men with the prostate, like come on,
yes, come on, please,
like
Please.
Yeah.
I mean, and then you think about some of the other kind of preventative things. You think about the blood work. I mean, now at my age, you know, I need to check my cholesterol. You know, I need to check for, you know, it's just the routine, what they call it, quote unquote, the routine blood work. But you got to get it. You got to get it. You know, there are, you know, a few things. It's funny. I was looking through this UCLA health preventative health screenings, and there was like, oh, I was like, ooh, I'm supposed to get a lung cancer screening? What?
I had never even heard of that. I know.
Never heard of a lung cancer screening in which I guess from 50 to 80, anyone, I mean, I guess I don't fall into this, but if you smoked at some point, and it actually, if you live in California, you might need to get
right.
it. Let's think about people who are not smoking who are getting lung cancer. My grandmother died of lung cancer, never smoked a day in her life.
Right. Right. You better get that screening.
I guess I have to.
You know that other one that I just learned
insurance,
about.
By the way, I use my insurance, clearly.
Out of pocket.
out of pocket.
Out of pocket max. I have to say, I just, this is hot off the presses, but I had never heard of this annual skin test. And my girlfriends all told me about it. And I will be totally honest, I thought it was something for people who were lighter skinned than me. Like I thought it was
lighter
something...
skinned. Are you Caucasian?
I didn't think it was. I was like, okay, well, maybe it's for people who see sunspots or have, you know, have something that like they see that or have skin cancer in their family or something. So they're going more regularly. I had no idea where I was supposed to go. And I just went to a doctor you recommended, a black woman.
Okay, of course. You have to admit that
well, of course.
Call me if you need a doctor.
But I was so funny because what was great was she did a hair check. And I was like, this is, first of all, I already kind of knew it was going to be, you know, she's got to check your skin. So you're going to have to stand there and just have her check you out. But I didn't even know that, like, you know, she was like, can I go in your hair? Can I move your hair around? And I, you know, looking at my scalp, looking to see if there were moles, looking to see about, you know, dandruff, if there was anything else. I mean, I had no idea. When are you supposed to start those?
You know what? Honestly, I don't know. It's funny. I don't even know how I started. Maybe because my wife was going I think it was my wife. She was getting a skin test because she has moles. And I think I was like, oh, maybe I should try that. But when do I need to get one? And it's funny. I think if you read about it, doctors will say, Black people do get skin cancer. It happens.
Of course. Of course.
And when I went to that person, I'd gone to other dermatologists, and it's a dermatologist that you go for a skin test. I had never had anyone check my scalp. Maybe they were intimidated, but I will go back to the fact that she was different because she was a Black doctor, that she was all up in my scalp. And I was like,
let me tell you, my hair is not normally straight, but I had it pulled back that day and I had blown it out. And she was like, we can skip this today if you don't, you know, because you just look like you just got your hair done. And I was like, oh, girl,
thank
get
you,
in
sis.
There. That's fine. Thank you. I appreciate. But go ahead. I'm not trying to drive back out here. So go ahead. It's like we also have these, again, preconceived notions. Like, I don't know why I thought that the skin test was only for skin cancer. It's like she was looking, I mean, really exciting things, like looking and being like, oh, okay, see this started probably when you're about, you know, in your late 30s, you're going to see more of these kind of spots on your face. I'm like, okay, all right.
No, thanks. Thanks.
but was helpful because pointing out things to me that are age related to look for, showing me something on my body that's like, just so you know, this is not what skin cancer looks like. You know, this is what this is. I mean, but for some reason, I was just thinking like, oh, you only go if you, you know, you think you have skin cancer or something.
Right. I mean, it's funny because dermatologists, I mean, listen, I think in their office, they do facials. They will, you know, do right. a little something, something. If you need a little, like maybe a little Botox, we'll do that on another topic. Right. That's not preventative. That's not preventative. But I think their office.
Could be. Does, that could be.
You know what? Listen, it people actually, sweat that's glands. True. If you have yeah. headaches.
Headaches, sweat glands.
Headaches, right. So, you know, listen, if you're getting little shots here and there, do it. But it's a dermatologist. So they're checking eczema. I mean, there's so many skin problems that you may not even think you have. You're like, oh, I have dry skin. Yeah. Maybe you have eczema. Maybe you have something else to think about. So,
So, you know, just this is just a thing that I was thinking about the other day, which is like a when you go into the doctors and you start going to different types of doctors, do you ever wonder when they go, okay, go ahead, I'm going to leave the room, and then you go ahead and put this robe on. Right. I mean, sometimes it's open in the front and sometimes you're supposed to keep it open in the back. And I feel like you never know, like they never explicitly tell you.
And it's awkward.
Also, I think if you like are a bigger of size, like sometimes you're like, okay, don't have me put this on open in the front. And so now I'm basically just like sitting with everything out, but they never tell you. And can someone please make better robes for those?
Listen, you know what I have thought about in the past? Why not bring your own robe? Does that sound crazy? I don't know if it sounds crazy.
That's not where I thought you were going. It sounds a little bit crazy.
But when you're thinking about the robe they give you that does not close, I was in an office, I think it was, I don't know, it was mammogram, it was an x-ray or something. And they gave me a robe and I felt like I had to walk down a hallway. And I was looking and I was like, my was out. What is happening? And I think she realized, she goes, you might want to, here's a towel, you want to wrap or like a robe, a gown. I was like, girl. This is not functional for me. Why do I now have this robe? And maybe I should have one on the back. And then you have me because I have to walk down a hall with my ass out. This didn't work. Didn't work. So like, yes, a custom robe.
On a hanger with a robe on a hanger. But look, it's not a crazy idea because if you're someone like who gets anxiety in the doctors already, the last thing you need is one more thing to have you stressed.
Right. And so the last thing I need is my butt out in the street.
Right. Right. And the last thing I need is to have another thing to give me like white coat syndrome. So you're right. Maybe it would be like a calming thing, like to bring your own.
Yeah, you know, I know place. Etsy probably has a robe that I can order. I'm about to do it. I'm sure I do.
They're always great at what the best part of going to a women's healthcare center for anything is like they always have warm towels and the sheets are in a warmer and they pull it out for you. I mean, it's always such a better experience when you go to somewhere that's like for women, I have found, especially for the preventative stuff. Cause like normally you're coming in after work and you're moving fast and like you just want to kind of like relax. And I feel like going to a place that's the best part of going to a mammogram. This is like the feminist.
Is the robe?
Like, no, it's going it's in the, and it's usually it's having all more women.
Comfortable. It's more comfortable.
Yeah, it's like women patients usually. And it's just like, there's just like a different energy, I feel like. Not so much of like a cattle ball.
At some point, we will maybe talk about fibroids as, you know, as many of our listeners, many people have fibroids. And to your point about having a women's facility, it is very different when you go to a women's facility than when you go to some regular radiology facility. And I actually had a very bad experience because I have fibroids. I occasionally have to go and get an ultrasound so that we can just check them. It's like once a year I go. And I had a tech that was basically slamming this machine in my stomach. Like I felt like the pressure. And I was like, sir, this hurts. And he was like, it'll be fine. I'm almost done. I was like, sir. And he was like, not really stopping. And I finally listened. I sat up and I said, I need someone different. And he just, you could see he was getting offended. I said, I need someone different. And literally he left and they sent a woman in and it was a very different experience. But I say that story to just say, you know, as you're going through this, whether it's you're going for your mammogram or you're going for things that you have to do in quote unquote preventative, don't be afraid to say, this is not working for me and I need a different situation. Or as you say, go to a different facility the next time. I never went back to that facility.
Yeah. And I think the best thing about to remember too about preventative is it's okay to ask questions because there's an expectation, like if you're going to get a colonoscopy every 10 years, that means you do not remember what it was like last time you went. Right. And very likely the technology has changed, things are different. So for preventative, it's like, it's okay to ask questions. You shouldn't be walking in there as a pro knowing how this works because you're not doing it that often. But we, I think we get nervous. And also I think with preventative care, it's sometimes rushed when you go in, right? Because they got people back to back to back to back. And so you don't want to ask questions or people, you know, are trying, you know, you have a 15-minute window. But that's really important with preventative. And especially when you get results back. When am I supposed to come back? What am I supposed to do? Should I be asking for my files outside? Should I send these to my primary? Like what do I need
and
to
I
do
always
here?
Ask, I always ask that question when it's over. When will these test results be available? And you won't be surprised, but 9 out of 10, I'm calling them because if I wait, I mean, I've waited for months because I just wasn't on the list of things. I mean, it just happens. Yeah. You know, it's funny that we think about, we've kind of laid out a few things, but the top question is where do people start? And I think if you have a general doctor or a doctor, a family doctor that you go to, ask them the question, you know, I am this age. What tests should I do right now at this stage in my life?
And honestly, I don't even know why I had never thought about it until you just said this. That's also the perfect question to ask in writing. You know, you have to go to the doctor, put it in your portal because likely they have some type of document that they can just respond to you with right then to say, or have their assistants respond to you and say, oh, perfect, here's what you need, right? Like if you put it in writing and you put it in there, like get your answer right then.
Right, because there could be tests that they're not even thinking about. Think about prostate cancer. I think about lung cancer. They're, you know, now they're starting to ask, you know, when you go for your annual woman's check, they start saying, do you have a family history? They never did that before. And so now they're asking the question, do you have a family history of that? Do you have a family history of that? But if you do have a family history, you may have to yourself say, hey, I have a family history of this. Should I be getting this blood test as or a woman?
And here's a trick too. Go ahead and just say you have a family history of it if it's going to give you.
You're like,
you want the test. I mean, that's the thing that seems so, so bizarre to me about mammograms is you're allowed to get it before, I don't know, 40 if you have a family history. How do they know if you have a family history?
They are. And how many people have gotten it without having a family history?
They're not pulling records. They don't even have your records, let alone your family's records. So just say yes. If you want something done, I mean, now I'm gonna get in trouble for insurance fraud, but you know,
please don't
report me.
Listen, Blue Cross, please call her.
Maybe you just err on the side of, yeah, I think we do have a history there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you go back to, you know, I've had a few people, you know, say, well, hey, I never heard about this doctor or this doctor. But, you know, I think we just need to help each other. You know, and I think, you know, in our last episode, in hypervigils, we say, you know, you can have one or two ways. Listen, you can do yourself and take care of yourself. Or you can be your sister's keeper. And I choose to be my sister's keeper because I think that if you experience something and you think someone else may benefit from it, tell everybody.
Yep.
Tell everybody.
Tell everybody. If anyone out there is trying to get regular updates via text, leave your phone number in the social comments. Tanya will add you to
the group chat.
Tanya's tips. They go out every
week. Right. We should start Tanya's tips. health for the new millennial.
I think you are. I hate to break it to you, but I think if you ask most people in your life, you've already started that. It's just not official.
Listen, let's keep us all going. Yeah. Like I said, how can we help each other? We are a sister's keeper. We're there for each other. And listen, you know, we're not by ourselves on this. Got to help each other.
Exactly. And this is what, if you have insurance, this is where you should use it, right? Like, look up the resources. Right. They're available. Right. The services they don't want you to know about, which is like healthcare concierge, you can call your healthcare and get someone on the phone and have them do the work for you. I'm speaking to myself and I'm telling myself to listen to this, because it's like, you can call someone tomorrow and say, hey, can you send me this? Can you give me this information? Who should I be sending all my files to? Like, use the resources you have. And I think, you know, the thing about preventative care, the kind of gross side of healthcare, is your insurance wants you to go to preventative care. Why they hide it, I have like no idea. They need a better marketing side of the house, because they want you to go there because they don't want to have to deal with the more costly stuff down the road. Right. So take advantage of the resources they have.
Yeah. Thank you. So thanks for listening.
And thanks for listening today. We're excited. We'll have more. I think this is a topic that for sure we probably want to have some specialists on later on. So if you have questions, or if you have someone who you think, oh my gosh, they should talk to this person, send us a note. Put it in the chat. Yeah. Go to girlcallme.com. We have a form there you can fill out.
The community. Yeah.
Join the community. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, girl.
Bye. Hey, it's Jessica. Thanks for listening to Girl Call Me. If you have something to add or a story to share, come on over to Instagram or Facebook and join the conversation. Also, make sure you follow and subscribe Girl Call Me. You don't want to miss when we release new episodes. Thanks for listening.